This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. The national sales event is on at your Toyota dealer, making now the perfect time to get a great deal on a dependable new car.
Like a legendary Camry, built for performance and available with all-wheel drive, you can count on your new Camry to get anywhere you need to go. And with available features like heated seats and a multimedia touchscreen, you can stay connected in comfort and style.
Or check out an affordable and reliable Corolla with a trim for every lifestyle, from the hip and agile sedan to the sporty hatchback. There's a dependable Corolla built just for you.
Plus, both Camrys and Corollas are available in hybrid models, so no matter your style, you can drive efficiently and affordably.
So, visit your local Toyota dealer and check out amazing national sales event deals on Camrys, Corollas, and more when you visit buyatoyota.com.
Toyota, let's go places.
Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast that gives you strategies and tips for how to become happier, healthier, and more productive. Or at least try. This week, we'll talk about why you might pick a one-word theme for the year and why the best time to start a new habit is now. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and with me is my sister, Elizabeth Kraft, the longtime witness and sometimes recruit to my experiment.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, TV writer and producer living in Los Angeles. And Gretch, I don't know if you can hear a sort of whirring on my end, but I am coming to you live from my much talked about treadmill desk.
Excellent. No, you're coming through loud and clear. That's great.
It's real and it's happening now.
Coming to you live.
Before we dive into everything, Gretch, in episode 24, we talked about whether or not you should get a dog.
Yeah.
And we asked people to weigh in, and wow, we've gotten such amazing response.
Yes, I put out a desperate call for advice, yes. And many listeners very kindly weighed in.
Yes, they not only sent their awesome dog photos, but they also sent their advice. So let's just hear a little bit of what people had to say.
Hi, this is Leanne from Jacksonville, Florida, and I vote no on getting a dog for the kids.
I would encourage you to wait to get a dog.
Because I love dogs, I have to vote no. She said she felt dread when she thinks about getting a dog. That's just not what you want to feel when you're thinking about adding a new member to your family.
The reality is that the dog eats her own poo, digs in the yard, has frequent bouts of diarrhea and vomiting.
Gretchen, I would just like to say, get a grip. You're slipping into a mode that I don't recognize in you, and your questioning about dog maintenance is your gut saying, no way.
You're not making a commitment today. You're making a commitment 10 years from now, maybe even 15 years from now.
Don't get a puppy. They are so much work.
I wondered if Gretchen considered adopting an old dog.
I recommend you foster a dog that is the size, temperament, and breed that would be ideal for you.
I was in your exact shoes 13 years ago. Like you, I didn't want to be remembered as the wet blanket that wouldn't let us get a dog, so I relented. Trust me, if you work from home, it will become your dog. On the good side, though, Pepper became my little buddy, and I just fell in love with her. And truthfully, it's been nice having someone home with me during the day. I still wouldn't trade her in for the world.
Hi, this is Judy from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I didn't want a dog. We were given a little schnauzer, and he wormed his way into my heart. Now I'm dog-free, but all three grown children still laugh and talk about the fun they had with their dog.
Remember, kids only have a limited time to grow up with a family dog.
He is more work for me, but he's worth it.
I think that having a dog and a family is just so enhancing.
12 years later, our kids have flown the nest, and my furry, loving little Cody is sitting at my feet as I speak.
We've had our golden retriever puppy Ruby for almost 2 years now, and she brings so much joy and happiness to our lives, and I would never take it back. It's so worth the work.
The rewards, including children learning about kindness, responsibility, forgiveness, loyalty, unconditional love, discipline, and sharing, far, far outweigh the chores.
Good luck. It'll make you a better person.
Okay, so keep those comments coming. And if you want to read other people's comments and advice and to see those photos of the adorable dogs, the brilliant Nick Kwa here at Panoply made a Tumblr account, happierpodcastdogs.tumblr.com. And remember, with Tumblr, you leave out the E, so it's just Tumblr, T-U-M-B-L-R. Check it out. The link also will be in all the usual places. But go take a look and see what people had to say and what their dogs look like.
Yeah, because, Gretch, it's interesting. It's not all yes.
No.
There's a lot of, it's very, very different, you know, sides of the fence.
Yeah.
So it's worth checking out.
Yeah. No, it's people really responded very thoughtfully.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to hop off my treadmill so I don't spend the whole episode with this sound in the background, but I just wanted to try it.
Excellent.
All right. Ready.
So, Elizabeth, here in the United States, at least, it's kind of the back to school season. It's the end of August, and we're all getting that kind of going back to school vibe. And I don't know about you, but for me, that always feels like a new beginning. It's kind of like the other new year is that feeling of going back to school. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. Fall is like the start of the year. It's like this is when everything's happening. Absolutely.
So we decided our Try This at Home would be kind of a related to this beginning of the year feeling. And we decided to do something that both of us have done before with great success, which is to pick a one-word theme for the year. And I got this originally from a friend, and his one-word themes. One was dark, because he is kind of a dark guy, I gotta say. Wow. It showed a lot of self-knowledge. And the other one was network, because he was a TV guy and he wanted to like get his stuff on network TV. And I know you've done it, Elizabeth. What are some of the ones you've picked?
Yeah, I think the first time I ever did it was 2000, and it was Style 2000. I was determined that I was going to dress better. And I have to say, every single fall, I announce that I'm going to start dressing well, and I'll like buy a few things, and like for 2 days or 3 days, I'll do it. And then I always fall out, but maybe that year I kept it up a little longer.
You and me both.
It's Style 2000. Another year I had Hot Wheels because I, believe it or not, as you'll remember, when I moved to LA, I didn't drive much because like you, I hate driving.
Yeah.
And Sarah had to drive me everywhere, which she did not appreciate, as you can imagine. So Hot Wheels was the year I like got a car and I actually started driving.
That was a big deal.
Yeah. Then another year I had Hot Bod because I wanted to really get in shape. And I think I did. I've kind of dropped off on that since then. What about you?
Well, I remember one of the years mine was Upgrade because I wanted to just sort of like make things better, like get a better laptop, you know, get better tools. Just get all my systems running better. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's helpful to have this one word theme, because it kind of forces you to think about some larger kind of transcendent thing that you want from your life, but really to distill it into one very catchy word that can kind of capture everything you're after.
Or a phrase in my case, Hot Bod and Hot Wheels.
Right. Yeah. It's not strict one word limit.
Yeah.
And I remember that was funny where one year, as I remember, you picked smaller and I picked bigger.
Yes, I remember that because I wanted smaller numbers on my blood sugar numbers.
Yeah.
And you, what was your bigger? What were you wanting bigger?
Well, you know, there's kind of a theme with all of mine. A lot of times it's like get bigger, think bigger, expect more from myself. Like that's often. But I thought it was so interesting that that the things that we picked were the opposite, and they were both good, and they were both kind of captivating.
Yeah.
I wrote about this in my book, Happier at Home. I wrote about this one-word theme and the idea to pick a one-word theme. And so a lot of people sent me what they had. And it was funny because a lot of them were opposites. Like one person said now, And one person said, wait.
Ah.
And one person said, hold back. And another person said, do everything all at once. And other interesting words I thought were renewal, play, action, possibility, move, serve, slower, adventure. So Elizabeth, what are you going to pick? What are you going to pick for your one word theme?
Okay, it's a one word this time, and it's novel.
Ooh.
Now, novel could mean, you know, new things, but in my case, I'm actually referring to a novel. As I've mentioned before, I have a young adult book that I want to write that I've actually started, but I just stalled out on it. And so my theme for this year is novel. And I want, by the end of the school year, I want to have a draft of my novel.
Okay. Well, that's very specific.
I know. And I know I decided I needed to get specific. And being an obliger, I am thinking I should use this podcast like as my accountability partner, or I should say the listeners of this podcast and you, so that I feel pressure to actually do it.
So we're going to check in with you and see if you're actually making progress, because an accountability partner only works if there's accountability. Now, but let me ask you, do you feel like the listeners knowing what you're doing is going to be enough accountability to make you feel that need to meet the external expectation that obligers need? Is that going to be enough?
I think if we bring it up on the show, yeah. If I just, you know, if I didn't check in until, you know, June 15th, no.
Okay.
But if we check in like once a month, then I think I'll feel that, yeah, I think it'll be enough. But I should add, like, because I'm going to have this time when I drop Jack off at school, and between dropping him off at school and work starting, I'm going to have like a solid hour and a half a day. So I think that's going to be my book time.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. So we're going to hold you to that.
And what about you?
So my word is vision.
Ah, that's a good word.
Yeah. And because I really need to have a vision of sort of where I'm going with my work. Right now, I'm writing a book about the four tendencies, sort of a shorter book that's just going to go really deep into the four tendencies. Like, you're an obliger. What does that mean? Like, and that's super fun. I'm working on that right now. But I don't know what my next big project is going to be. Mm. And that's kind of a restless, unsettled feeling for me, because once I have my big project, then kind of everything in my life makes sense. And I go to a new part of the library and I'm all excited. But I don't have that feeling yet. And I don't know whether I want to write a book that's kind of sort of along the lines of my last several books that has a lot of kind of thoughts and research about how to live a happier, better, more productive life. Or do I want to write something that's much more essayistic, that's just sort of like my deep thoughts, capital D, capital T? I don't know. Uh-huh. So I'm kind of standing where the brook and river meet and waiting for the lightning bolt that's going to tell me which direction to go in. So I'm waiting for my vision.
Well, I can't wait to hear what it is. I'm going to be at the edge of my seat waiting for your next project.
You and me both. So let us know if you do try this at home and what one word theme or phrase you picked. So call us and leave a message at 774-277-9336, or easier to remember, 77-HAPPY-336. And remember, you can get all this information on my website, GretchenRubin.com, where I create a post for every episode. This is episode 26, so we'd love to hear from you.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Now it's time for our Better Than Before habit strategy. There are 21 strategies that we can use to make or break our habits. And this is a strategy, it's one of the three habit formation strategies that have to do with the best time to begin. It's the strategy of first steps.
And I know, Gretch, you love all these old sayings like, well begun is half done, and don't get it perfect, get it going.
Yes. And that's what the strategy of the first steps is. It's a reminder that practically always the best time to begin is now. Now, you don't want to pick a really bad time, like, you know, you're in the middle of moving or you've got the flu or something like that. But the fact is, once you have that feeling of like, I think I should do something, the best time to start is now.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to start now. Like, I know for me, you know, I have sometimes I'm working and sometimes I'm on hiatus. And it's always when I'm on a hiatus, I always say, oh, when I start working, that'll be the time to pick up this habit because everything will be changing. It'll be clean slate. I'll start. And then when I'm working, I'm like, well, I'm working. I can't possibly do that now. Once hiatus starts, that's when I'll do it.
Yes. And I mean, I think everybody falls prey to that. And I call that tomorrow logic because of tomorrow logic. We just have this strong tendency to argue to ourselves that tomorrow it'll be easy to be good. Tomorrow, we're going to have more time. Tomorrow, everything for some reason is just going to be magically make it easier for us to do whatever we want to do. Now, I do it the same thing with the summer and the fall. You know, I say, oh, well, I'll do this in the summer because we'll just have all this extra free time. It'll be easy in the summer. But then once the summer starts, I'm like, oh, but, you know, once the fall starts, we'll be back on schedule. You know, it's the school schedule and everybody will be right on track and then it'll be easier. But the fact is, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. And one of the things that's true, too, I don't know about you, but I find that there is nothing more exhausting than the thing you never start.
Oh, completely. Because it just eats at you and it drags you down. It's like the novel. I mean, not doing this novel is so much more work than doing it because I have existential, you know, crises like every night.
It's just exhausting. But this reminds me of something that is like a distinction between the way some people start most effectively than other people, because some people do better when they start small, when they make small, manageable steps. It's very concrete. They get the feeling of accomplishment. But other people do better when they start big. And you're somebody who does better when you start big, right?
Yeah, I always feel like I'm the best when I just dive in and I feel sort of obsessed or consumed by something. Small steps I find just boring and sort of wearying. And I don't know, I feel like if I start a small step, then it'll always be a small step.
Well, with your writing your novel, I bet if you were like, I'll do it 1 hour a week, you would kind of, you know. But now if you're like, I'm going to do it an hour a day, 5 days a week, That's big.
That'll be easier. That'll be easier for me.
Right.
Because I'll feel like it's a real thing that's happening and vibrant.
Yes.
Whereas I need to feel like something is really big, which thus big versus small.
And another thing to keep in mind with this is like be very careful about stopping. Like once you start getting in the pattern of writing your novel, don't let yourself stop. Even if for some reason, like you need to take a day off or whatever, you don't say to yourself, I've stopped, because people have a really hard time starting over. Often starting over is harder than just starting. And I remember my yoga instructor, he gives a lot of private instruction. Mm-hmm. And here in New York City, a big thing is people go away for the summer for a month or two. And so people would say like, okay, well, I'm going to stop for the summer and I'll call you when I get back in the fall. And he very wisely says, no, you're not stopping. I'm going to like look at my calendar and I'm taking off this day and 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 this day. But you're not stopping. And here's the date, September 4th is the day you're coming back. And I'll see you then unless you let me know. And so they don't have that feeling of stopping and starting. It's more like, oh, I canceled this day, I canceled that day, but I'm still going.
Yeah, whenever you need a phone call to restart something, it never happens.
Yes. I think it's because you feel like there's backsliding, you know, like, oh, I was so good and now I've been bad. Or like, oh, I was so good at doing yoga, but now I'm not as flexible as I was. You know, it creates all these kind of negative things. For a lot of people, it helps to have this thing, don't break the chain, you know, to try to keep one day after another day and really track it so that you have this feeling of, the more sort of the longer the chain goes, then the more you don't want to let the chain break. So for some people, that can be helpful with first steps, too, is like once it starts, it doesn't stop.
All right, Gretchen, we're up with a listener question. And I just want to say thanks to everyone who's calling in with questions. We love hearing your voices and getting your questions. It's so much fun. So remember, if you want to leave us a question, the number is 774-277-9336. And Gretchen, this week we have a question from Julia in Baltimore.
Hi, all. I am calling because I'm an anxious procrastinator. And I find that once I actually get started on a project, it becomes a lot easier and way more manageable, and I actually start to enjoy it. But before that point, I'm terrified. And so I'm asking for advice in order to start a project. How do you get started when you're terrified? All right. I love the podcast. Thank you so much. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Interesting. Well, it's very appropriate that we're talking about this question when we talked about tomorrow logic, because the very word procrastinate comes from the word crass, which is the Latin word for tomorrow.
Ah.
Yeah. And it turns out that anxiety is a very common reason for procrastination. So what happens is you're nervous about doing something, so to make yourself feel better, you turn away from it and procrastinate. But then, as Julia points out, because you're not getting anything done, it becomes more and more anxiety generating. And so it can be a very poisonous cycle.
Yeah, I know for me, when I'm really stressed about doing something, and Sarah and I do this, because, you know, as I've mentioned, we have to pitch people.
Yeah.
And these are meetings that you wish you could put off forever because they're just so stressful. And we just put it on the books, and then we just tell ourselves the morning of the meeting, this will be over by dinner.
That's a really good technique for me. Just reminding yourself, I'm going to be on the other side of it soon.
Yeah. And then no matter how bad it is, by dinner, it's going to be done.
Right, right. Julia mentions a strategy that is actually, I think, the most effective strategy for this, which is the strategy of scheduling. This is one of the habit formation strategies, which is that you actually put it on the calendar, just like you and Sarah put something on the calendar. You put it on the calendar so that you do start. And maybe you start with something very tiny, you know, like I'm going to look up the phone number, or, you know, I'm going to find the tiniest bit of information, or I'm going to just format the document, because starting is comforting. Once you're engaged in it, the anxiety tends to drop. And if you schedule, you really put it on your calendar, then you're much less likely to keep pushing it off and pushing it off so that that anxiety is rising.
So I should do that. I can relate to Julia because I have for years, I mean, a decade, been saying, and I really mean it, that I want to take some kind of acting lessons because, you know, I work a lot with actors.
Yeah.
And I feel like I don't have enough language to, you know, to speak to them about the process.
Interesting.
And it would, you know, would give me insight into writing for television. And also I get so nervous when I have to do any sort of public, you know, performing, that my breath gets all crazy. So I feel like acting techniques would be really helpful, but I'm so scared of actually doing an acting class. I mean, I can't even, like, my heart is racing right now just talking about it.
Just thinking about it, yeah.
And so I should do the thing of just putting it on, you know, like what you're saying, making a call, looking it up, finding a teacher. But I am terrified. And I'm sure, like Julia is saying, if I just did it, it would be like, oh, this is no big deal. This is fun. This is us expanding, you know, live in an atmosphere of growth.
Yeah.
But the idea of it is so horrifying that I shrink away.
But a lot of times when you get that little bit of information, it kind of, the thing that just felt like this big, gigantic, terrifying mass sort of become, like, you get a reference from a friend who says, oh, my teacher is so lovely and supportive and fun. And then you're like, oh, well, maybe it won't be so bad. Like, it can get easier as you work on it. Whereas if you don't start working on it, the anxiety, there's nothing to diminish the anxiety. But here's something that's more fun than scheduling, just real quick, is treats. When we give more to ourselves, we can ask more from ourselves. And so if you're asking yourself to do something that's really making you anxious, give yourself a little treat, not a reward, not something you have to earn or justify. Just give yourself a little treat to help energize yourself. And according to some procrastination research, it turns out that people who schedule playtime, who really give themselves a break, are more likely to tackle unappealing projects than the people who don't give themselves a little treat, because it's just easier to do that stuff when you feel comforted and cared for.
Well, Julia, let us know how you do with your projects, whatever they may be.
There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called StoryWorth. StoryWorth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like, what was your favorite toy as a little girl, or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/happier. That's storyworth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase.
Okay, demerits and gold stars. Elizabeth, you're up with a demerit.
Yes. And this week, Rich, I have an eye-related happiness demerit. You had one a while back with your pink eye. And I have an affliction. I have blepharitis.
Ooh.
Which is such a great name for something.
For
what ails me. And essentially what it means is that, without going into gruesome detail, I need to cleanse my eyelids with these special eye cleansing pads that sort of get foamy twice a day for a week. It does not hurt. Well, no, the blepharitis does, because it sort of makes my eyes feel scratchy.
Yeah.
But the cleansing doesn't hurt. And my doctor has said if I do it twice a day for a week, it should go away. And this has been going on for like a year, and I have not done it. And it's like, I cannot make myself consistently use these cleansers. It's horrible.
Okay. So can I suggest something?
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the things I know about you, because I am your sister, is that you love coffee in the morning. You need
yes.
your coffee. Okay. So I assume you have these pads like in your bathroom, and
yes.
it's part of your like toothbrushing, you know, kind of routine in the morning.
Theoretically,
but it doesn't happen there. Okay. Move the pads, if this is can happen, to in front of your coffee pot. And in the morning, when you're making your first cup of coffee, you just say to yourself, I cannot have a cup of coffee until I use these pads. This is the strategy of pairing, where you pair something that you want to do with something that you don't want to do. And in fact, last week, AJ mentioned using pairing as a way to get yourself to sit up straighter. You know, you pair it with some other aspect of your life. And every time you do that, you remind yourself to use better posture. So you only get your first cup of coffee if you've used the cleanser. Might that work?
I think that's brilliant. I think that will 100% work. I'm going to do that. I'll put the pads right next to the coffee in the drawer, perhaps, instead of on the counter next to the coffee pot.
Slightly unsavory, reminder.
That's a great, thank you. I'm going to do that, and I'll let you know how my blepharitis is. perhaps, like, just in a private call.
We will not be posting before and after photos of the blepharitis this time. I love to post photos on my website to go with the podcast, but in this case, just use your imagination.
Yeah. Okay, now, Gretch, what's your gold star?
I want to give my gold star to our mother.
Oh, good.
And this is something she may not even remember that she did. But way, way, way back in the deep, distant past, she gave me my Filofax.
Ah.
And this is something that I have used for more than 20 years. I love my Filofax. Speaking of photos, I'm going to post a photo of my beloved Filofax. And it is like, I love it. And, you know, people keep saying, like, why don't you use something digital? But, you know, for me, that is not as efficient. I don't not use my phone or some kind of digital thing out of some Luddite need to use paper, but because I actually think that my Filofax is much more efficient and easier to use. Plus, it's tons of fun to have this artifact. One of the things that comes with the Filofax is you can order these little black kind of notebook holder things. And so I've kept every calendar back to 1992.
Oh, wow.
And,
that's cool.
And often I will, for one reason or another, look back to see, you know, when did something happen or whatever. And I just, because I knew I was going to be talking to you, I looked back. 10 years ago on this date, we had rented a little house in Saltaire, which is on Fire Island here in New York City. And we were coming back to New York City on that day. And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that house in Saltaire.
Oh,
and
that's great.
20 years ago on this date, we were having dinner that night. We were living in D.C. and I was clerking for Sandra Day O'Connor, and we were having a dinner with my co-clerks and their spouses. So it was like, we're all going to go out to dinner together. And I was like, oh, yes. It just took me back to what it was like during that time of life. And so I just, so gold star to my mother, because the file of facts, it just, every day it makes me happy. Having these calendars makes me happy. There's something just so cunning. It's so perfectly suited.
Is it the same file of facts that she gave you, or is it a new file of facts?
I mean, it seems improbable that it's the same one, but I don't remember ever replacing it. It's pretty beat up. So it might very well be the very same file of facts.
Wow. Gold star to mom.
Yeah. Hey, and listeners, weigh in. How do you feel about the digital calendar versus the ye old paper calendar? Because I want to know, like, are there people who are still committed to paper like me? Or am I the last one of my breed? So I'll post a picture of the file of facts itself, and also of my my library of the calendars going back more than 20 years. And that's it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Pick a one-word theme for the year. Call us and let us know if you tried it and what one-word theme or phrase you picked for the year. And also, please continue to weigh in on the dog issue. Dog or no dog? That is the question.
Thanks goes to our producer, Henry Malofsky. Thanks also to Andy Bowers and Laura Mayer from Panoply.
Also, if you want to get my email newsletter, just text me at 66866, and in the message box, enter the word happier. You'll instantly get a text back that asks you to enter your email address. Type in your email and you'll get a confirmation, and you'll be subscribed to my monthly newsletter.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.
This podcast is part of the Panoply Network. Check out our entire roster of podcasts at itunes.com/panoply.
If you've ever been in the market for a new home, you know home shopping can be a lot. There's so much you don't know and so much you need to know. What are the neighborhoods like? What are the schools like? Who is the agent who knows the listing or neighborhood best? And why can't all this information just be in one place?
Well, now it is on homes.com. They've got everything you need to know about the listing itself, but even better, they've got comprehensive neighborhood guides and detailed reports about local schools. And their agent directory helps you see the agent's current listings and sales history. Homes.com collaboration tools make it easier than ever to share all this information with your family. It's a whole cul-de-sac of home shopping information all at your fingertips. Homes.com. We've done your homework.